It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that, some
Colbert.
Oh, man, the Mike Ditka hits a little different today for this Bears fan. Welcome in. Hope you had a great weekend. You know, mine was good up until about 1 o'clock today, so technically not the weekend anymore, but I'll get to it in a moment. A lot to get to on the show today. I am your host, Colbert. I'm in the Shirley Street studio. It is January 10th of 2022, and however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Speaking of the website, check it out if you have it. I tell you all the time to check it out and bookmark it. A lot of information there, along with not only just this show's podcast, but you get all sorts of metro area previews with Prep Sports. You get results there. Any programming or event information, it's definitely worthy of a daily stop in your pursuits on the World Wide Web, and it's all new now. So shout out to our guy Chris Berg and the company who does great work on our websites. We've got an all-brand-new 1650thefan.com. We're still working out a few kinks here and there and fine-tuning the sucker, but it looks outstanding. And thanks again to Chris, and really excited for everybody out there who does and hopefully will begin to make it a regular stop for themselves on the interwebs, as it is, it's at a great place, and we're going to continue to deliver as much content as we can. So bookmark it, 1650thefan.com, and as I mentioned, that's where you get the podcast of this show. If you want to check us out on social media and, you know, get that avenue that pushes out some of that outstanding content from our website, you can follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at Real Colbert, and check out the Facebook page, 1650 The Fan. Type that in. You'll find it. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. If you want to join in today with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call, by all means. Fire away. Just know I might read it on the show. Try to keep your foul language to a minimum. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. As always, we'll lead it off here in just a few short moments with area sports news and scores. After we do that, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash VSiN action update from Uncle Brett Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this frigid Monday. And it looks like we got a bit of a warm-up coming the next couple days, so make sure you stay tuned during the break and listen to what Megan Mulford has to tell us about what's to come in the next couple of days, temperature-wise, and, of course, your entire forecast. We'll come back from that first break and hear from the voice of Iowa State men's basketball, John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network, joins us today on the show to look back on Iowa State, that loss they had in Norman at Oklahoma on Saturday. It was looking good until it wasn't late in the second half when Oklahoma made 10 straight field goals and ripped off a 19-2 run. Cyclones were playing, you know, classic Iowa State, TJ Otzelberger basketball until that moment when the Sooners just could not miss for a stretch there. So what are we to make of the Cyclones' 1-2 start in Big 12 play? We dig into that with John, among many other things. Tyrese Hunter, too, the outstanding freshman point guard, had a career-high 20 points in that loss to the Sooners. I think he is turning the corner. I'm not saying that necessarily he's going to continue to put up 20 every night, but I think that's a huge game for not just maybe the physical lessons that Tyrese Hunter takes away in terms of putting the ball on the floor versus finding a jump shot or a three-point shot at the right time, but also mentally, you know, what he's capable of doing, and decision-making for a point guard is so huge. And I would imagine that from everything you hear about Tyrese Hunter, he's mature beyond his years, and I'm sure there's times where he's definitely gone out of his way to set aside his own offense to make sure that the offense is continuing to run, and he's finding his teammates and keeping them involved. And I think perhaps going forward that maybe we'll see things kind of swing back in the other direction, and Tyrese Hunter, maybe because of a game like he had against Oklahoma, despite it being a loss, will continue to hunt for his own shot and maybe feel, I don't know, guilt's probably too strong of a word, but less guilt about seeking out buckets for himself. And I think that's going to be a really important development, and John Walters shares his thoughts on that as well in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking Iowa State hoops with John, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you get Radio Iowa Sports from Todd Kim. We'll come back from that break, and it is Black Monday in the NFL, which, if you're out of the loop, it's the day where all of the poor-performing teams fire their coaches and or general managers and or perhaps other front office officials, and it has, by all means, been another pretty epic Black Monday in the NFL. So we're going to go out to Denver and connect with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. The Broncos, they fired Vic Fangio on Sunday. That news got out that Vic Fangio was getting fired after 3 years in Denver. And so we'll talk about Black Monday with Sean, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist. You follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler. And here, I'm going to get up on the soapbox. Just deal with me for a while here, okay? And you're going to laugh, Packers fan, Chiefs fan, and you know what? Go right ahead. Be my guest. But here's what I got to say, because the message that I want to get out here about my miserable, dreadful, head-in-you-know-what diseased Bears is that what they have generated due to their ineptitude over years now, I think it's 6 playoff wins since winning the Super Bowl in the 85-86 season is it. 6 playoff wins. And there's been basically like 4 Bears teams since the 85-86 team that have really been any good. I mean, my lifetime as a Bears fan, outside of the 2005 to 2008 era, pretty miserable. And so, leading up to what seemed to be an inevitable firing of Matt Nagy, okay, was questions about, well, would they fire GM Ryan Pace as well, who had one winning season in 7 years as general manager? Yeah, they had the gall to make that decision as well today. They fired the head coach Matt Nagy and general manager Ryan Pace. Herein lies the rub. If you are a Packers fan who, you know, doesn't have the time, and I understand, to really dig in on where Bears fans are and what exactly is going on with the franchise, the McCaskey family that owns the Bears, if they were truly about winning, today would have gone further than Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Team president Ted Phillips, who's been with the Bears for 23 years, joined the franchise not long after the Bears had won the Super Bowl in the 85-86 season. He has presided over, quite frankly, the worst era of Bears football in the franchise's history. Mind you, this is a charter franchise among those when the league originated. Supposed to have this they're just supposed to be a level in which a franchise like the Bears is incapable of getting down to. But not only have they done that, today was a hold my beer moment when Chairman George McCaskey, met the media on Zoom at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Because Bears fans like myself, who have, you know, a lot of us tuned the team out, quite frankly, go, it doesn't matter if Ted Phillips is still there. It doesn't matter if the people hiring the general manager and the coach don't change. And we found out today it's not going to change. They moved the deck chairs around. Ted Phillips is not going to be involved in football decision-making anymore, but he is going to be involved in the hiring of this GM and coach. So figure that one out. Also, Olin Krutz, potential future Hall of Famer, longtime outstanding center for the Bears, revealed late last week that he was, and this was one of those stories that just shined a light on how the Bears can't get out of their own way. Olin Krutz said he was offered a consulting job with the Bears on their offensive line, as you might imagine, for $15 an hour. And this was like, I think it was four or five years ago that this happened. I think it may have been at the end of the Trestman era. It doesn't really matter. But a future Hall of Fame center, they offered him $15 an hour to be a consultant for their offensive line. What did Chairman George McCaskey say today when he was asked about Olin telling that story publicly? He all but called him a liar. One of the greatest Bears in franchise history. Our chairman, and he's not my chairman anymore, because the point I'm trying to get at here, because I don't want to pain you for too long with this, is that in sports, whether it's the NFL, whether it's your favorite college team, the most dangerous thing that a sports franchise team can encounter is fan apathy. It's one thing if your fan base is pissed off at you. You know that they still care enough to be upset, right? Apathy is, this team is so lost. This franchise is so lost. Why would I even begin to allow myself to use my precious time on them? And that's where I'm at. And, you know, a good friend of mine that I grew up with is a Colorado Rockies fan. And he's one of my best friends, and he's one of the best people that I enjoy talking baseball with. But we haven't been able to talk baseball the way we did when we were younger because of the incredible ineptitude of the ownership group of the Colorado Rockies and how that has made him apathetic toward not only his team, the Rockies, but the sport. And I really don't wish it on anybody. That's the point I'm getting at here. I don't wish it on anybody. I'm dealing with it right now. I don't know how it changes, but what an embarrassment. A charter franchise in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, what a complete embarrassment they are, and their chairman, George McCaskey, the son of the owner, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, born on third base, thinking he hit a triple, made a complete mockery out of the franchise today. And so it's not good. It's not good. I so much want to care about my Bears in the NFL, and this is one of the worst moments. You know, there's way bigger issues in the world, obviously. Let me get that disclaimer in there. But this is one of the worst things I've experienced in my sports fanhood. And it sucks. That's just, there's no really eloquent way to put it. It just sucks. And I don't know how they dig themselves out of it, but I hope it's before my time on this rock that's spinning around the sun is over. All right, that's enough. Hopefully you're still hanging in with us here on a Monday edition of Cole and Company. Let's dive right in now. Area sports news and scores. The 22nd-ranked Iowa women's basketball team earned their first Big Ten road win yesterday, won at Nebraska 95-86. Sophomore Caitlin Clark had a double-double with 31 points and 12 assists. Iowa is now 8-4 this year, 2-1 in the Big Ten. For the second straight week, Iowa State men's basketball has dropped in the AP Top 25, down four spots from 11 to 15. Baylor remains number one, Gonzaga is second, and UCLA is third. And as I mentioned before, the 15th-ranked Iowa State men's basketball team back in action tomorrow at Kansas. You can hear all the coverage of that game tomorrow night right here on the Fan pregame show at 6. Tip-off is at 7. The 22nd-ranked UNI wrestling team lost at South Dakota State yesterday, 27-13 in a Big 12 duel. The Jackrabbits won 7-10 matches. Panthers shook up their lineup, largely due to health and safety protocols, and the Panthers are now 1-5 overall, 0-2 in the Big 12. The UNI women's basketball team recorded its first Missouri Valley win yesterday, won at Loyola Chicago, 58-54. Carly Rucker paced the Panthers with 16 points. Bree Gunnels had 13. UNI is now 8-5 and 1-1 in the Valley. The UNI men's basketball team will look to continue its midseason surge, hosting Indiana State tomorrow night. The Panthers recorded a season-high third straight win on Saturday night in an 85-84 win at Missouri State. A.J. Green had 33 points, 29 in the second half, as UNI improved to 3-1 in the Valley. They're 7-7 overall. Game time tomorrow night is at 7. The top-ranked Iowa wrestling team rolled past number 15 Purdue 36-4 yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. The Hawkeyes scored bonus points in 5 matches, won 9 of 10 overall, to extend their winning streak to 26 straight duels, the longest in the country. Tonight in girls' high school wrestling in the Metro, Cedar Falls, right now, hosting a very large invitational, Waterloo Columbus is among 17 schools competing at the invite, and action began about 45 minutes ago at 4:30. And, of course, tonight, the college football season concludes the national championship game. SEC rivals Alabama and Georgia at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Kickoff is at 7. All right, let's come back right after this. We'll talk Iowa State hoops with John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network. You're listening to Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Wild season with the wildest of finishes for the NFL. The playoffs begin next weekend, but for some of the 16 that didn't make it, they're in the market for new coaches and more. The Bears and Vikings both starting over completely. Chicago, as expected, fired head coach Mac Nagy and GM Ryan Pace. Nagy lasted 4 seasons, but never came close to duplicating his first when he went 12-4, leading the Bears to the playoffs. The Vikings parted ways with Mike Zimmer, and GM Rick Spielman is out as well after 10 years. The high point of their tenure came in 2017 when Minnesota advanced the NFC Championship game. The team missed the playoffs in each of the last 2 years. The Dolphins fired head coach Brian Flores after 3 seasons. Miami game became the first team in history to lose 7 straight before winning 7 in a row. Owner Stephen Ross put any speculation of Jim Harbaugh coming to Miami to bed early, saying he'd never take him away from the University of Michigan. Of course, Ross, a Michigan alum. Giants general manager Dave Gettleman announced his retirement. Hall of Famer Don Maynard has passed away at the age of 86. And Alabama and Georgia meet again for college football's national championship. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Coming up later on the Zach Gelb Show, the NFL playoff field is set, plus we get you ready for the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio.
For previews and results of metro area high school sports, visit 1650thefan.com.
Steven Spielberg famously said, "The delicate balance of mentoring someone is not creating them in their own image, but giving them the opportunity to create themselves." The Cedar Falls School District would like to take this opportunity to honor its 2021 award-winning mentors. Sincerest congratulations to the following: Jen Paulson, Sarah Carlson, Hannah Tucson, and Troy Becker on receiving prestigious awards within their respective fields of expertise. Jen Paulson, teacher at Holmes Junior High, has been awarded the Distinguished Service Award by the Iowa Council of Teachers of English. Sarah Carlson, teacher at Pete Junior High, has been awarded the Don Fett Award by the Iowa Council for the Social Studies. Hannah Tucson, teacher at Southdale Elementary, has been chosen as the Art Educator of Iowa's Outstanding Elementary Art Educator. And Tiger Pride Activities Director Troy Becker has been named the 2021-22 Northeast District High School Athletics and Activities Director of the Year. Congratulations, one and all, from the Cedar Falls School District.
Cedar Falls School, every student, every day.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
College football, the CFP National Championship game tonight in Indianapolis. Alabama going for their sixth title in 11 years. Georgia looking for their first since 1980. The Bulldogs, as they were in the SEC Championship game, a favorite tonight, -2.5, 52.5 the over-under. The playoffs begin this week in the AFC Wild Card Saturday. The Raiders getting 6.5 at the Bengals. The Bills -4.5 at home against the Patriots. Then Sunday, the Steelers +13 at the Chiefs. Also Sunday in the NFC Wild Card, the Eagles +9 at Tampa Bay, the Niners +3 at Dallas, and next Monday, the Rams, a 4-point home favorite against the Cardinals.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Clear skies tonight with a low of 1 above. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 41. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies and quiet. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 23. Temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday, with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for snow Wednesday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 10 above.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Cole Bear, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole and Company, and it was a busy weekend in college basketball. The UNI Panthers extend a winning streak to 3. The Iowa State Cyclones, on the other side of the coin, they fall short against a really good Oklahoma Sooners team coached by a former Missouri Valley coach in Porter Mosier, who's in his first year with the Sooners. And to break it all down and talk Iowa State hoops looking back and forward, because the Kansas Jayhawks are the challenge tomorrow night in Lawrence. So a lot to talk about as it relates to these Iowa State Cyclones down to number 15, if you were around for the first segment of today's show, down to 15, down 4 spots in this week's AP Top 25. But John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network joins us now on a Monday. John, how you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, Cole?
I'm doing well, and I'm really curious to talk to you today about this Iowa State men's basketball team, because it's a 1-2 start to Big 12 play. We talked a lot about just how tough that schedule is going to be because of the strength of the league, and what a compelling game. Obviously didn't turn out the way Iowa State would like it on Saturday night, John, but a 47-36 second half lead, and you see that score and you go, okay, the Cyclones, they've got control of this game. That's a number where, you know, based off what we've seen so far this season, this thing's kind of trending in a good direction. And then Oklahoma's just able to open up the floodgates and go on a 19-2 run. Looking back on, in particular, that second half, what did you see develop that really challenged the Cyclones?
Yeah, I just think the game had a different feel to it kind of all the way through than certainly the Texas Tech game or even the Baylor game as far as offensive flow. I mean, it just felt like both teams were pretty effective scoring the basketball. And then, obviously, Oklahoma got really effective when they made 10 shots in a row down the stretch. But, you know, we're just so unaccustomed to seeing Iowa State give up baskets that way. And Oklahoma did a good job. They did a lot of back cutting, you know, and Iowa State did too. They picked apart Oklahoma's defense pretty well for a good period of the game. But it just never had a feel like Iowa State had it put away. Even though they were playing well and they were making shots and they had a good lead, you know, Oklahoma kept coming. And then when Oklahoma got its hot streak, it was just Iowa State couldn't turn off the water. And that's really an unusual situation. We have not seen that from Iowa State this season. So I think, you know, is it a bad deal that they gave up 10 straight, made field goals to Oklahoma? Absolutely. Is it a red flag where you say, oh my goodness, this team isn't what they thought we were defensively? I don't think so. I think the body of work and the sample size is big enough through the first 13 games to say we know how well this team can guard. And I don't know if a little bit of just getting tired legs there in the second half or what the case may be, but I credit Oklahoma. They did a great job of making the cuts and making the shots and doing the things they had to be successful. But big picture, I'm not as worried about Iowa State because of it. I just think they're a very good defensive team. We've established that, and they got to get back to those core principles, and I think they will. But as you mentioned, the challenges don't get any easier as you go into Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it will be a 6 o'clock coverage start tomorrow night right here on The Fan with the Cyclone Radio Network, and 7 o'clock tip-off for Iowa State at Kansas. So make a note of that. John Walters, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. John, kind of backing up a little bit. The sample size isn't too great, but is there anything in particular that sticks out about having watched 3 games of this Iowa State team in Big 12 play?
Well, just how competitive it's going to be every single night. You know, I think you're going to see just a bunch of dogfights. And we've seen 3 different kinds of games, and all 3 of them were knockdown dragouts. And we're going to continue to see that. I don't think that's going to change all the way through the 18-game schedule. So it's going to be a blast to watch these games and watch these great teams compete. And I think that's just going to continue on. And Iowa State's going to have to play really well, win games in this league, and we knew that. You know, that's not a surprise. And I think Iowa State has played very well, certainly in big stretches of those 2 losses against Baylor and Oklahoma. They just didn't sustain it for the full 40 minutes, and you know, it's hard to do that. Nobody's perfect for 40 minutes, but you got to play at a high level for 40 minutes if you're going to win, especially in this conference. And so, you know, another game that's identical to that tomorrow night. Iowa State's going to have to go in and really execute for 40 minutes to beat Kansas, but I think they can do it. You know, we've seen this team do that in big games this season, and I think it's going to be another 3rd incredible Big 12 battle, and this is just what you look forward to. This is what you sign up for, and going into the season, you know, nobody thought that Iowa State would even be in this position to be able to be competitive in these games, and here they are, you know, and now it's just, can they get over the hump in a bunch of them and win their shares so they can make the NCAA tournament? I feel strongly that they will.
Coming out of that loss against Oklahoma on Saturday, John, one thing I think, at least I know I'm going to keep a close eye on moving forward, is the freshman point guard, Tyrese Hunter. He scores a career-high 20 points in that loss, and, you know, I'm sure he would probably point to the fact that, well, I had 4 turnovers against 4 assists. I'm sure the way Tyrese is wired, that's what he takes away from that game. But I think just in terms of being confident in finding shots for himself, whether it's putting the ball on the deck and having the confidence to go up against the trees inside and knowing how to finish at this level, or having the confidence to take the jump shot at the right time, I think that could be one of those games, particularly for a freshman player, John, that could be one that makes a few things click going forward and continues to crack into more of his potential.
Well, I hope so, because I think Tyrese is a guy that they need offensively to be a double-digit scorer. You know, you get into this Big 12, and there's so many good teams, and there's teams that, you know, to be successful, I don't care how good Iowa State's defense is, to be successful and to win games, they're probably going to have to score at least in the 60s, if not, you know, get to 70 points in some of these games. So Isaiah Brockington has been, you know, that consistent, steady guy at right around 18 points a game. Gabe Kelscher's been kind of up and down, you know, and so they need more production offensively out of Gabe Kelscher, and then they need somebody else to step up as a scorer. Now, it was Tristan Anaruna against Baylor, but I think that for Iowa State to be successful, they really need Tyrese Hunter to be in attack mode, and they need to get about 10 points a game out of him. And I love the way that he was shooting the basketball with confidence. That was huge to see a couple of 3s go down. But I love the way also that he got to the basket and attacked, because that's when he's at his best. And so, you know, he got 4 steals in that game. And a lot of times when Tyrese is getting steals, those are his big offensive nights, because it leads to him in transition attacking the basket. And so I think the more he picks up his defensive pressure, the more that his offense comes. And I think he's a gamer. I think he's a guy that is not going to get up as much for Chicago State as he is for a Kansas State. And so I think Tyrese, as league games go on, will just keep getting better and better and better. And he's a special freshman. T.J. Oppelberger talked about it today, but there's only about 5 or 6 freshman point guards starting in the major 6 conferences. And so he's being asked to do a lot, and he's doing it in the best league in the country, and it's pretty impressive what he's done.
Speaking of Coach Otzelberger, whether it is him, any of his assistants or players, is there anything that's really caught your ear, John, from any of these three Big 12 games from what you've heard from the team?
Well, I think TJ just feels like, you know, to truly be successful, they have to continue to do the things that they've done well over a longer period of time. And I think he felt like they played a great game the other day at Oklahoma and, you know, just couldn't close the deal. And it was a lesson for these guys to see how you have to do it for the full 40 minutes. And, you know, it was still a tie game with 6 minutes to go in Norman. And and then it just really got away from Iowa State in those final 6 minutes. And so, you know, I think, again, it has to come back to the defensive end of the floor. They have to be able to get stops consistently. And when they do that, they allow themselves to stay in games. That game got away from them because their defense got away from them. And so that's so rare to see that, that I hope that it's more of the aberration rather than the norm.
How about this matchup tomorrow night, John? We've talked a little bit about it to this point, but Kansas is coming off of a loss against the Texas Tech team, albeit without some of its talent, that Iowa State just recently beat last week. So it's always tough to go to Fog Allen. We know that. But this isn't necessarily a Mount Everest, if you will, to climb tomorrow night. This KU team is beatable, and it just seems like this is the kind of game that, given what we've seen from these Cyclones, they're going to be up for this. They're welcoming the challenge, I imagine.
Well, I think they're definitely welcoming the challenge. I do think it's a big challenge because I've seen Bill Self's teams through the years after a loss, and that is when they are absolutely a caged animal. And so, you know, you think you're going to always be in for a real battle when you go into Allen Fieldhouse. It's about cubed when you go in there after they've been defeated. And so, you know, it's going to be a huge test. Iowa State's definitely going to take Kansas's best shot. Ochai Agbaje is playing very, very well, leading scorer in the Big 12 Conference. Jalen Wilson coming off his best game of the season, and he's a guy that withdrew his name from the NBA draft also and is very, very talented, but he had a great game at Texas Tech. The guy that kind of hasn't really hit on all cylinders yet is Remy Martin, who was the Pac-12 leading scorer a year ago at Arizona State. He hasn't really been the dynamic force that I think they anticipated he would be, but you know, Christian Brown's a really good player. I think this Kansas team is loaded. I think they're really good. David McCormick, McDonald's All-American. And so, you know, you're going to have to play well to go in there and compete and have a chance to beat them. Having said all that, I do think Iowa State is very capable of going in there and playing well. And if they can concentrate on the things that they have to do and not get caught up and get swept away in that environment, because I think that's what happens to teams when they go into Allen Fieldhouse. They get caught up in that, the crowd, the noise, the KU style of play on their home floor where they really get after you. And it's easy to get caught up in that and think, oh, here we go, you know. But you got to fight through those things. And those are the things that Iowa State's best teams that have been able to go in there and win have been able to do. And Iowa State's had more success in Allen Fieldhouse than any other Big 12 team. And they've done it when they've had great guard play and they've been able to handle Kansas's pressure. And those are the things I think they're going to have to do again tomorrow. Now, that's put, again, a lot on a freshman point guard. Mm-hmm. But I think Tyrese Hunter will be really excited about his opportunity tomorrow. And I'm excited to see how he plays.
Likewise, John. Great stuff as always. Enjoyed the conversation. And we'll look forward to catching up again next week. Safe travels to Lawrence.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Cole.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Keel.
Presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. The goblet has dropped. Download it. Must be 21.
Drake coach Darren DeVries says senior point guard Roman Penn will try to play the remainder of the season with an injured foot. Penn returned to the lineup this week after missing nearly a month after suffering a small fracture in his left foot.
He's got an injury that's not going to heal, so it's something that he's, you know, not able to practice much. He's trying to play, and we'll see how long, you know, that he can do that, you know, that because he wants to play.
Drake is 11-5 and hosts Illinois State Wednesday night. After a loss at Oklahoma, Iowa State falls to 15th, latest AP Top 25. The Cyclones visit 9th-ranked Kansas Tuesday night. Baylor remains top-ranked, Gonzaga second, UCLA, Auburn, and USC complete the top five. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
Small businesses across Iowa are continuing to show up for you. They're adapting, they're donating, they're keeping their doors and their hearts open to assist their employees and serve their customers, just like they always have. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa's communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. With helpful advice, affordable loans, and essential financial services, banks across Iowa are showing small businesses the way to a stronger tomorrow. Learn more at iowabankers.com.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe, and I've got gas. Natural gas, that is. It comes to me through a series of pipes buried in the ground. Pipes that all too often get damaged by people who dig before calling 811. This causes real problems for millions of Americans like me who rely on natural gas to heat their homes and cook their food, but it's even worse for the people who hit the gas lines. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to be one of those people. Just call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more info.
My name is Anna. I live in Cedar Falls.
I was in a severe car accident. The driver did not have car insurance. I was actually severely injured. I had a lot of hospital bills that needed to be paid. I was a single mom. I called Balkirken Home. Eshan came and saw me while I was actually in the hospital. He explained everything thoroughly and how we were gonna get compensated. Eshan really seemed like he genuinely cared about me and not just getting compensation for himself.
When a car or motorcycle accident injures you or your loved ones, you need a strong team of attorneys to protect your rights. Balkirken Home has been in the Cedar Valley since 1958. Balkirken Home are your local injury attorneys providing personalized representation at the highest level. For a free consultation, visit balkirkhome.com.
I would highly recommend Balkirken Home.
Balkirken Home, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I am very, very grateful.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach MindLinks.
My name is Dr. J.J. Meyer. I'm a functional medicine practitioner at Vanderloo Chiropractic. When Dr. Vanderloo had her as an action coach, I really didn't ever understand exactly what that was, but she really helps point us when we set goals. She is someone that has a way of spurring people on. I would really recommend Heather as a coach. It's really a worthwhile goal to have a coach with you as part of your vision, part of your goals, keeps you on track. I think it saves months and probably years of planning. When you have a conversation with her, whether it's for 5 minutes or an hour, it's like, wow, she just has a lot of wisdom. It's impressive.
Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. It is Black Monday in the NFL. A number of firings, including both coaches and general managers, right here nearest us here in the Cedar Valley area. Both the Minnesota Vikings and Chicago Bears giving pink slips to their general managers and head coaches. And Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, kind enough to join us today on the show, despite being a little under the weather. Sean's undying love and his loyalty to this program perseveres. He plays hurt
is
for
that
us.
What it is? I think dying with me is a very appropriate term.
Well, I mean, you could be a Bears fan, and we're all dying inside today.
It could be worse. Yeah, it could be worse. You sounded morose off air following McCaskey news conference. Do you care to enlighten me on what to? By the way, you have to keep the bar low when any McCaskey member steps to a microphone, as well you know.
And I know this. I do know this. But like I told you on the phone, the floor is low. Chairman George McCaskey came in below the floor today because Bears fans that are fed up because there's been only 6 playoff wins since they won the Super Bowl in the 85-86 season, Sean, go, why are the same people going to be put in charge of hiring another general manager and a head coach? And so the thought was, all right, duh, you fire Matt Nagy, you fire Ryan Pace. They did that. What you needed to do was take team president Ted Phillips, who's been there like 23 years, make you don't even have to fire him. We would have settled for him not being fired and saying make him team president of business ops so he can handle the Arlington Heights property, potential development of a brand new billion-dollar stadium, and then you go hire a football guy. I don't Peyton Manning, perhaps, just to get a little reach, you know, a little provincial for you.
Careful now.
You know, Lewis Riddick. I don't know. You could go on Trace Armstrong, whatever. And then you let that guy, who's a football guy and knows the game, George McCaskey called himself a fan today multiple times. But what he did do, Sean, was he said that Ted Phillips would no longer be a part of football decision-making and that the general manager, who will be hired to control the entire football operation, will instead report to him, the fan, the chairman. But, hold on, even though Ted Phillips is out of football decision-making, he will be a part of hiring the next GM. He's going to hang around for one last hurrah. Also, too, there was a story, I don't know if you saw it, Olin Krutz, potential future Hall of Fame center, where he said he was offered a consulting position for the Bears offensive line like 4 or 5 years ago for $15
an hour.
George McCaskey, in so many words today, basically just said that he's lying. So on top of all the organizational disarray, there was that today, too. And every Bears fan loves Olin Krutz. So he called Olin Krutz a liar today. I know the Broncos are a mess. I know they got ownership turmoil. But I think we got a really good measuring contest here of who's actually in more disarray.
The Bears win on that front, but when they get that development money for the move, they'll, you know, depending on when the Broncos get sold, they might shoot ahead of them too. Yeah, that's an eerie parallel. Basically, if you just trade Joe Ellis for George McCaskey and John Elway to some degree for Ted Phillips, although John's still here. And I say that slowly with a sigh and with no respect at all. It's very similar. Yeah, we had Black Sunday, as you know, instead of Saturday. But yeah, family ownerships, you know, at least you've got one person and not some crazy uncle who hijacked the team and has been running it into, you've got a crazy in-laws who hijacked the team, you know, many generations ago and ran it into the ground. The Broncos are in a similar state where they've just had a crazy uncle, business partner of the family who's run this thing into the ground. But the Bears win on just the only Krutz thing puts it over the top. But give the Broncos time. I'm sure if they hire one of George Payton's old Vikings buddies, and that's a distinct possibility here, I'm sure some Broncos alumni who are kind of reserving judgment and hoping for the best, are bracing for a bit of a letdown in that regard. In spite of what I wrote in today's Denver Post, which is I think they should shoot for the moon because generally with this job they end up getting, you know, Vic Fangio, who's never been a head coach before and has a like 200 batting average in challenges and doesn't know how to, you know, do clock management or special teams or team motivation or anything that head coach needs to do because he's been upstairs running Bears and 49ers defenses his entire life, which he will immediately go back to doing and should be doing all along. Yes, it's Black Monday, ain't it great?
And did I see, and check out Sean's reporting at DenverPost.com, Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company, a Black Monday edition in the NFL. Did I see that the aforementioned Broncos general manager George Patton said it's harder to find a franchise cornerback than it is to find a franchise quarterback, Sean?
He didn't say that to us, George Patton, on Sunday, but it wouldn't shock me if that's really what he thinks. Because my contemporary Mark Kisla, longtime Denver award-winning sports columnist, kind of we took turns kind of pinning old George as friendly as we could on the Zoom call, watching him duck and weave a little bit. And Mark got in a pretty good shot with, so you're going after a coach. What do you think is more important in this equation, the coach or the quarterback, and why? and he started going on this long spiel about how the coach is more important. And I find that to be utter poppycock, to use an FCC-friendly term relative to what I think of it, and is kind of burying the lead for what basically is the issue. Because as you know here, nine coaches in 5 years, going on five coaches in 9 years, mm-hmm. going on three coaches in five. What Peyton did say astutely yesterday here was, well, there's clearly something endemic in the organization. Yes, again, for you Bears fans out there, it starts at the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's run by idiots who have checked out years ago and checked out pretty much when Peyton Manning retired. This thing has been a shell since. So, you know, would it shock me if that's what George Payton really thinks, given where the state of the Minnesota Vikings are? We've had this talk. I'm starting to worry, not to jump your next question, that Payton took this random job with this screwed up, and, you know, the ownership situation is in limbo till the spring. There's another lawsuit about another owner who had mitts on this while Pat Bowlen was alive. They're waiting to get that resolved. He took this job because he knew the Vikings were going to crash and burn, and that was going to be a flame out. And he pulled the ripcord to come here.
Interesting.
What happens? They blow it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggy Wolf says enough is enough. They've been, as much as people like, very similar, again, to Vic Fangio, people like, the coach there personally. They have some respect for Rex Spielman, but they're both looking for work. And George is woke up Black Monday as the only guy with Vikings ties with a job. Among that bloodline. So I don't know. I just hope we're not talking about a Kirk Cousins trade in about 6 weeks, but I can't rule anything out.
Yeah, you probably will be, unfortunately. Sean, today got me thinking, call me out if this is just getting older and being jaded, but you know me, I'm a big baseball guy. I love college sports, and when it comes to your favorite baseball team trying to find the next big prospect, or your favorite college basketball or football team, you know, recruiting some 4-star or 5-star or whatever it may be, that all that stuff is an inexact science. There's a lot of data that can help, but you never know. Ultimately, you do not know. And, you know, kind of, you know, building off of what you had written at DenverPost.com, where you go, Broncos, why fool around? Call Mike Tomlin. Call Sean Payton and make them tell you no. Short of that, I don't know how any of these ownership groups and these front offices can really say without a tongue-in-cheek that, you know, when they go hire, for example, Eric Bieniemy or Brian Daboll, you know, the list goes on.
Nathaniel Hackett.
That they've got their guy and they've got the guy. Because to me, if you're hiring a coach who doesn't have a proven track record of success, this is an inexact science, and you cannot say with any certainty that it's going to work out or not.
No, but it goes back to the quarterback thing, that if you need to have one or the other. And the Broncos have been arrogant enough, and Elway, hubris, had that kind of arrogance to think that they needed neither. That's what's astonishing to me, especially in the AFC West, as you know. I mean, last night,
yep.
Hello, that's every. There's a reason the Broncos, Fangio went like 4-12 in those division games. You have to bring ammo to those games. You cannot pretend it's 2010 defense and we're the. I mean, if you've got the Baltimore Ravens from 02 or whatever, or the Tampa Bay Bucks from 04. You got to stop thinking Brad Johnson type thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring a guy who's willing to ready to go at that level. They don't have that. Somebody's going to be fourth in that division. That's why. So if you are not going to bring a coach with experience, you better have a coach who has a quarterback relationship, and that's some of the reason that Nathaniel Hackett has been thrown around here, even though he's a bit of a longer shot. I remember covering his dad, Paul, because I'm old. That he has a good working relationship with Aaron Rodgers, wink, wink. And that'll make that all work out. They're always back to here. Aaron Rodgers is coming. Well, it always goes back to here. By the way, though, we're bringing that up. The Packers, and you wound up having a pretty nice season, my friend. I'm gonna hold to my prediction on that one. on them being a Super Bowl team, but we'll see.
And, Sean, before I run, and I do have to run here, great conversation as always. I did bury the lead that George McCaskey, since he's a fan, he has elicited the help of 79-year-old Bill Polian to lead this charge toward hiring the new regime for the Chicago Bears. So I guess I shouldn't be panicked.
No, I'd feel, honestly, objectively, I'd feel better about Polian at any age than George McCaskey with any dollar.
Fair.
I've talked to Bill. Bill's all right. Even the Bengals found their way to Joe Burrow. There are ways to salvage the unsalvageable. You know, I never say never, but the Bears and Broncos, and never mind Chicago and Denver being very similar in terms of the fan base, their interests, and the markets. Yeah, when families get involved and when owners think they know the sport and start talking to Dad Layman like they're a fan and they're angry, I'm just like you. I roll my eyes, man. I actions, not words. Show me, brother. Don't tell me.
Great stuff, Sean. Got to run. Have a good rest of your week, man. Feel better.
Take care. Be safe. Thanks.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Raiders kicked a game-winning 47-yard field goal in overtime to beat the Chargers 35-32 and punched their ticket to the postseason. They'll kick off Super Wild Card Weekend next Saturday against the Bengals, 4:30 Eastern on NBC. Then in the nightcap, the Patriots will square off against the Bills. That game starts at 8:15 Eastern on CBS. Sunday, the Eagles will be on the road against the defending champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 1 Eastern on Fox. Then later, it's the Niners and Cowboys at 4:30 Eastern on CBS. And in primetime, the Steelers take on the Chiefs at 8:15 Eastern on NBC. Monday night, it's an NFC West battle between the Cards and the Rams for the third time this year, 8:15 Eastern on ESPN. The Broncos fired head coach Vic Fangio after 3 seasons, and the Jags secured the number 1 overall pick in the 2022 draft. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. What was supposed to be an underwhelming week for the NFL turned out to be one of the more exciting ones in recent memory. We saw big upsets like the Jags knocking off the Colts, T.J. Watt tying Michael Strahan's single-season sack record, and one of the better Sunday night games of the year. The Raiders and Chargers both went into that contest with a chance to make the playoffs. There was even a scenario where they could both make it. That would only happen if the two teams tied. But both teams played to win, and it made for some exciting football. The Raiders went on to win the game thanks to Daniel Carlson's field goal in overtime. The 3-point victory gives the Raiders a playoff berth, and they deserve it. It's been a rough season. Quarterback Derek Carr and interim coach Rich Bisaccia have been tremendous leaders for this organization. And even though we may not know how this season's going to end after all that's happened, it's hard to say it wasn't a successful season in Las Vegas. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now, a message from Discover about real rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that you actually want and something that you can actually use, something like Cashback Match. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, because when it comes to rewards, you can't go wrong with cash back. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply.
Psst. Hey, it's me, your dream. What happened, man? We used to be tight. I say it's time we get back together. You and me, your dream, living the van life in a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could start a business or build a log cabin. Whatever you want. It's a Mercedes-Benz van, so it's chock full of innovative safety features. All I'm saying is don't forget about me. I mean, I am your lifelong dream. So what do you say? Let's head to the Mercedes-Benz Vans dealership and get that Sprinter.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on a Monday. I want to thank John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network, as well as Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, for their contributions to today's show. No Monday Night Football tonight as the NFL regular season is over, so you'll be able to listen to Zach Gelb and Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, bring you updates on the college football national championship game. I'm going to go with Alabama. I was kind of hoping that Georgia would show better in that SEC championship game, but after what took place there, don't think Alabama will play quite as well tonight as they did in that game. They were otherworldly in that one. But it's just, I think it's impossible to pick against the Tide tonight in this one. I'll have it on. Probably TV too, if I'm being completely honest. I hope it turns into a good game. It's going to have to be to get my close attention. I'll be back tomorrow at 5. Have a good one, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.